Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
What a weird and strange few days we've had, George.
I know. It has been really strange, actually. Obviously, we're recording this on Monday and the Queen sadly passed away on Thursday last week. And so we've had, I guess, it's been a funny time to be in England, actually. I also have my granddad's funeral on Friday, which was the day after everything obviously happened. And that was really strange because, you know, the whole country obviously goes into mourning and there's this weird feeling. And I think people don't really know. I mean, Axel cried when I told him that the Queen had passed away. And I don't know if...
Wow.
I know. But do you know what I think it is? I think at school this year, there's been a lot of focus on the Jubilee and the Queen.
Yeah.
And children in particular have been learning a lot about the royal family. And so I think a lot of children probably are feeling this more than we might have expected them to.
Yeah. And actually, I think the nation has been grieving for the Queen, but also it has brought up a lot of grief of their own. You know, I was broadcasting all weekend and Saturday was one of the hardest shows I've ever had to do. And it was somber. The playlist had changed. We were talking about the Queen's life and things that she had done, you know, talking about her sense of humour, but also, you know, all the incredible inspirational things that she did over the last, you know, however many years. But then we were talking about King Charles. By Sunday, it was very tricky because people were really feeling the enormity of what was going on, you know, and there has been an outpouring of grief, And I think it's like you said, George, I think it, you know, it lots of people were saying that it's reminded them of their granny dying or their grandparent dying. So that's going on. And then you're like, well, how much do I get back to normal? What should we be posting? What should we be saying? You want to be respectful, you know, it's a minefield to try and navigate.
Yeah. And as a business as well, you don't know how to approach it. And like people approaching it in so many different ways and you don't really know what to do. We actually went into London on Saturday afternoon and we were thinking about going to Buckingham Palace. We actually didn't end up doing it because the streets were
heaving,
mobbed, like so busy. It's actually nice. We got the bus and we got the bus from the King's Road back to Liverpool Street. And it took us all around the back of, you know, like Green Park and then like quite near to Buckingham Palace. And so the kids could kind of soak up the atmosphere and watch everybody without us actually physically being there. But I think like you say, it does bring up grief and questions around death, particularly
my children.
Oh my
gosh, they've been asking so many questions, like, haven't they? Like Luna was like, did the Queen want to die, Mummy? And I said, oh, do you know what? I'm sure, you know, that she would have died, you know, a very content, happy lady, because she'd had the most incredible life with her children and grandchildren around her. And, you know, she was 96. There was something about the Queen that made us think that she was immortal, that that's come up quite a lot. You know, the Queen just keep going on and on and on. But you know what? Yeah, as the kids keep asking, Luna says to me, at what point do you die? And I thought, wow, I just don't know how to answer that. There's so many questions around death that have come up over the last 48, 72 hours.
Yeah, it's funny and it's difficult to know how to answer those questions. And I think we've had people on the podcast before and I guess the advice has always been to be honest and give, sort of be as direct. You don't need to give all the information, but you just give them the facts and they'll, you know, if they've got any more questions, they'll ask them. I think Axel, we've been talking to him about death because of my granddad passing away recently. So he kind of understands it. But equally now I feel like he's a little bit too comfortable.
No, I think it's okay to be comfortable with death.
I'm a bit like,
oh God, I wish that I'd had more conversations around death. Like when I was 14, my cousin's husband drowned. I think I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but he was my genuinely like a brother to me. So that was my first wave of like really savage grief, but it hit me like a tidal wave because we had conversations about everything in our house. We hadn't spoken about death before, not really. And then obviously losing dad, even at the age of 30, I was completely flawed. I mean, I know it's a parent, but it's, you know, I wish that I'd been armed slightly with more of those kind of, you know, it happens when it happens, and you know, let's talk about death and let's try and understand it a little bit more, because otherwise you don't really have any of the tools to cope with it.
No, you don't.
No.
No, and I think grief is, it's not just one thing one time. It comes in waves, and if you know you're listening to this and the Queen's passing has brought up feelings of grief, it could have been from, you know, last year, 10 years ago, then it's completely normal to be feeling like that. And I think lots of people are feeling like that, like you say, Zoe. And so, we're here for everybody. And I think no one processes grief in the same way. So it's
all it normal. Absolutely is. And like Georgia said, drop us a DM if you want to chat about anything. We are here. Now we need to get into today's podcast because, oh, what a treat. I am so excited for everybody to hear this conversation. I actually can't believe that we got her on the pod. I'm very proud. I'm proud of us because it's a big one. She's a big name. Everyone knows her. She's got a very famous sister. She was a thoroughly, thoroughly lovely person, wasn't she?
Oh my gosh, so lovely. And actually, you know, it is incredible the guests that we have on the podcast. And sometimes when we're interviewing these big names, you think, oh God, I can't believe we've got them on. And what are they going to be like? And all of that kind of stuff. I felt like she was just a mate, and she was so open, so honest, so easy to chat to. I mean, I've got so much respect for her. I mean, I had respect for her anyway, but after this, just wow. I'm so grateful for her to her for coming on and just sharing.
And what about
everything.
That birth story?
I know, it's a good one. If you love a birth story, you are going to love this episode. It's not all around birth. We covered loads of stuff. But
brilliant. George, come on. Just put us out of our misery. Who are we talking to today, George?
In case you haven't guessed, we are chatting to Dani Minogue.
So for sure, an absolute pinch me moment on the podcast today. I can't believe I'm about to introduce this incredible lady, but here we go. Singer, actress, TV personality, and of course, mum. We are absolutely thrilled to be saying hello to Dani Minogue.
Yay, it's Dani Minogue. We are so excited to have you on today. How are you?
Good, I'm good. Back in London. It's so crazy. It's been such a long time being stuck in Australia.
Dani, we miss you over here in the UK. How long has it been since you've been back here?
22 years I was living between London and always back in Australia to see family or for events, for work, for Christmas. So it was just like, you know, it became like, oh, you just commute to work, commute between the two. And this time was really funny because of being, you know, locked up for so long and then finally that opened the border to the country. And it's like, what? Get on a plane for that long?
Yes.
To get my head around it. I was like, oh, it feels like I've forgotten how to do this.
Forgotten how to do it. No, I totally get that. But how was it? How is it being back?
Amazing. Amazing. I've seen a few friends. I took a friend to see the Abra Voyage show.
Yes. Oh, wow.
That, I mean, apart from it being absolutely superb, it was like to be following it all the way from Australia, thinking that's all the way over in London, and then just to be walking and be there was incredible. So, and then go to QVC. A lot of my team members had joined since I was here 4 years ago for, you know, only seeing them on a Zoom call. So actually meeting everyone has has been so good.
Danny, we're so excited to talk to you about your parenting experiences. But before we get into it, let's go back to when you first found out that you were pregnant. Because I always love this story. How did you feel?
I was in London and I'm so excited, and I really enjoyed my pregnancy. Like, I had an easy, good pregnancy. I worked throughout. It was a joy to be able to still work. And I remember I was on the panel of Australia's Got Talent, and with this huge pregnant belly, and I'd never seen anyone that pregnant on camera before doing what I did. So I felt really proud that it was this moment that other women would see. And, you know, I think if you want to and you're lucky, you don't have a pregnancy that's debilitating. Some of my friends have had where they can't go to work, you know, that you're visible and you're seen. Because I felt like definitely after my son was born, there's so much time when you're cocooning at home and it's beautiful, but you're like, I feel like you've lost touch with the outside world.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you feel about your, I guess, like your changing body during your pregnancy?
Loved it.
You loved it?
Yeah. I think that's the most I've been comfortable in my body and loving it. I love like having a big belly. You know, when you like rub the sides and like, I feel this belly. And I missed it after I had Ethan, and I would go to bed and go to sleep. I missed having that big belly there. I loved it.
Yeah. Do you know what? I completely get it, actually. I think what probably the time I felt most body confident on holiday and in a bikini was with this big, like big bump. And you just, yeah, I mean, I totally get it. But I guess it's not always the case. Everyone feels different. Like feels different. Some people love it. Some people hate it. So it's great to hear that you had a good experience.
So both Georgia and I are massive birth story fans. I mean, the variety of stories that you hear, you know, and that's always the comment, isn't it? That no birth is the same as the other one. So we are desperate to ask you about yours. How was it?
It was a little traumatic for me in a few ways. And I get it now when I read stories, and like everyone has their birth story and their particular thing. I actually didn't particularly want to go to hospital to have my son. And it's not the norm there in Australia. In England, there's lots of midwives and it's very normal. And like, you know, if you need to go to the hospital, you go to the hospital, or if you want to. I didn't want to, because I just had a friend pass away in hospital from cancer. And then the last big experience in hospital, my sister was in hospital with cancer, and there were media everywhere. And for me, it didn't feel like that safe space. For me, it felt terrifying. And I just wanted to concentrate on having my baby. So hoping to give birth at home. I had these beautiful midwives that were both from the UK, now living in Australia. And we're just having this lovely time, just, you know, getting ready for this birth. And everything had been perfect up until then, up until my waters broke, and it's completely in the wrong position. So I still wasn't going to give up. You know, is he going to turn around? They're like, they can do sometime. So I stupidly hung on for 30 hours of posterior labor with him pressed up against the wards in my back.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I can swear like a trooper.
Yes.
Normally, it was so weird in those 30 hours, not one swear word came out of my mouth. I was just in this, I was so composed. It was like this calm.
Oh, my gosh.
Very out of body, serene. I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. And I think it's, you know, it's like when you were saying before, you're pregnant and you love your body, but those hormones that obviously take over, thinking, I can do this, because it must have been the adrenaline and everything. And then it just didn't happen. So I went to call my obstetrician to say, okay, we've got to go to the hospital. Wasn't my choice, but we have to go. And he hung up on me.
He hung up?
Yeah, he hung up. That must have been the phone line, like, surely.
Yeah.
Called back again, and he said, no, you've got the letter, and hung up again. I was like, I don't understand what he's talking about, got the letter. Like, I was really so exhausted by then. And I said to the midwives, please call him back, because they're like, does that make sense to you? And I said, no. I went to see him, and I said to him, got the hospital booked, but for these very specific reasons that are very personal to me, we like to try and have the baby at home.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got plan A and plan B, which is lovely, and expecting mum to think, okay, may not go to my plan, so I'll, have everything covered. So they rang him back and he said he cancelled the hospital and there is no hospital room, and that he'd sent me a letter. And I did say to him when I went to him and said, look, I know this is not your like normal world. It's normally your obstetrician at hospitals, it's this, but you know, I really grew up most of my adult life in England. It's a different mindset there, and midwife, very normal. And you know, it's not the kind of, there's such a stigma in Australia. There was at the time. I don't think they can even operate anymore because the government will not allow them insurance to do their job. So at that time, it was really coming to a close. And I had said to him, you know, I have these midwives. Look, here's all of the information. What more do you need from me? But I am moving house. I've just had to buy a house. So you have my details, but do not send anything in the mail, because I moved into my house 10 days before I gave birth. When I was speaking to him, I wasn't there. We hadn't exchanged on the house yet. So I said, you have my number, you've got my email, this is all of their contacts. It's, you know, be very immediate. Pick up the phone to me if you need anything. I was doing all of this face to face. And he said to me, you know, you didn't need to book an appointment to come here and say this. And I said, no, I did. I want to see you. I want just to be in front of your face and explain to you this. It's not, I can't put in an email or go through your receptionist. Like, this is really important.
Mm.
At the time, he said, that's fine. I must have walked out of there. He's like, that's not fine with me. He cancelled the hospital, didn't call me, didn't email me, didn't contact anyone, and sent a letter, which is what I told him not to do. Don't use the mail address. I find this out after 30 hours.
30 hours of labor.
Each eyelash feels like it has the weight of a truck. I'm literally, so they called up the Royal Women's Hospital and they said, hi, we've got a bit of a situation here. The baby's not going to arrive on its own. And they said they would take me and I had to be wheeled in a wheelchair. I could not walk. Then I had to wait to get the epidural. So it was still a very long wait. I then ended up having to have a C-section. So I'm not having my child at home. I had to have a C-section. I'm in hospital. I'm like on a stretcher waiting for a room to go into because nothing.
There isn't.
I'm literally sort of in a hallway. But great, they took me and you know, on the way home from the hospital, it's so normal to be chased by helicopters, right? Because people are trying to get a photo. The whole experience was crazy. And then there was a front page of a newspaper which saying emergency transfer to a hospital. And, you know, I was sitting around speaking with a midwife and I'm like, this is why people, you know, don't want to give you insurance to do your job because that is misinformation.
Mm. Yeah.
Only saying it's time to go, this is not going to happen. And we calmly went to the hospital in a car.
Mm.
And there's no emergency and do not sensationalize it. That is not what happened. So as well as me going through this whole situation, which I had honestly tried everything to avoid and plan and have a plan B, it was, everybody says, you can have the, you know, your birth plan of your dreams and then good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when I was pregnant, there was all the phone hacking was going on.
It's just horrific.
Mm.
And it's such a private time as well, you know, like you obviously mentioned you didn't want to go into hospital for various reasons, but I guess a lot of that would be because of the paparazzi and people knowing what was going on. And then to have the whole thing sensationalized like that. How did it make you feel?
In the end, probably having the hospital room cancelled, I probably avoided and did get some private time because I was just, they were so good, the Royal Women's Hospital just took me in, and lucky for that, because I mean, I was just sitting there waiting for the epidural to kick in thinking if I didn't have this now, I would literally die. I've taken too many hours of pain and the baby's not coming out. So
that sounds so traumatic. It's definitely not the best start to your parenting journey. And talk us through those first few weeks and how they were for you and what stuff came up.
Amazing, amazing. I just, you know, was in a little bubble and just enjoying it. And you know, those first moments where he just made a noise.
Yes.
Or like, I think he just looked at me. You know, of course, the eyeballs just roaming around. But yeah, it was amazing. He, you know, ate well, slept well. I was like, nothing more you could ask for, Kelsey. Yep.
Obviously, your son's a lot older than our children are. How, you know, what parts of parenting have you found the hardest? Like, are there any phases that you've particularly enjoyed?
Toilet training, I found really hard. Yes. It was really mentally challenging for me. Once that was over, I was like, oh, thank God that is done.
Well, so did you have any, like, you know, scenarios where you're out and about and lots of accidents or anything like that?
I was up in Sydney and I was working on the Australian version of the X Factor, and been there for many weeks. So I rent a house, and this house that I've rented, like, pretty much everything in it is white and beautiful, and I'm like, I'm toilet training. This is
yes.
I obviously thought it was gonna all be wrapped and done and happen a lot quicker than what it did. So stressful not to be in your own house and to feel like the damage something of someone else's.
My gosh, don't. I'm literally just out of the whole toilet training thing now, but it's not, it still comes with a lot of challenges, still lots of accidents going on, still lots of clothes covered in poo. I feel, absolutely, I completely get it. I can't imagine being in a rented or white house.
So now, in present day, what is your relationship like with Ethan today?
We're very, very close. Really hard for me at the moment to be so far away from him. And yes, there's FaceTime, that's good, but there's nothing like being there and being with him. I love doing, you know, very mundane parts of being a mum, you know, getting up at him in the morning and doing breakfast and making school lunches, and either if we're walking or driving to school, that time that you have to have those conversations. Book time at the end of the day. We love movie time on the weekend. We're just like, huge bowl of popcorn. Right, what are we watching? We just love it. So many things that we love to share together. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a son and he's six, and I already feel like, not like he's moving away from me, but a little bit. How do you find that, like, now Ethan's a bit older? Do you find he goes in another room? Like, what's your advice?
Yeah, he does. So you're like, take him off, himself off to his room, and want to have, like, you know, a phone call with a friend or something. I give him that time. I'm nervous from everything that I've heard from people about, you know, when they start to get into their teens. So he's only just turned 12. Next year will be high school, and then I think everything's going to change.
Oh my gosh, don't.
My brother's got two sons, and the youngest one is 2 years older than Ethan, and the next one is another 2 years older. So, like, there's a good, you know, group around him. He loves being around family. So I don't know when that changes, but and you just love spending with your grandparents. So it's just very family time.
Yeah, I think it's so important. I read something the other day and it said, you know, like, you can be the best parent, you can follow all the books, you can do all this, but ultimately you want to raise a child that actually still wants to call you when they're a grown up and they actually still want to hang out with you. And that really stayed with me. And I thought, God, you're so right. That's all I want. I want my children to be happy, and I actually want them to want to spend time with the family rather than feel like they're forced to.
Yeah, and trust you. And he really wanted to start walking to school on his own. And, you know, I was trying to get myself ready for that, because not only we're very close, but then there's Ratsy running around.
Yeah.
A little bit of a different situation for me. And I was like, oh, God. He hasn't started. He goes to school. I'm like, right, text me when you get there. 9 o'clock, school start. And I'm like, he didn't text me. And I was like, I could feel this red rage.
He didn't.
And then I'm like, for the rest of the day, I'm like calming myself down. And I am not going to scream at him when I see him after school. He comes towards the car and I'm thinking, don't do it, don't do it, don't react. And the gorgeous thing, he opens the door of the car and he's like, Mommy, my phone was out of credit. I tried to message you and I important, and he was so stressed about it all day.
No way.
The same as you. Oh.
Yes, I told him, I said, oh gosh, I've had this whole day where I've, you know, I actually feel like I learned the most out of this whole day today. And I said, please tell me if I overreact to anything. You know, I want us to be good buddies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lesson for you.
I think there's so many feelings around our children getting older. It brings up a lot of stuff. You mentioned it previously about being in the public eye whilst being a parent. How is that sitting with you now?
Like, he's in such a good bubble at his school where it's not really a big deal. Like, everybody's very calm about it. But, you know, we have had to grow up with, you know, the creepy guys running around with the, you know, long camera lenses, and I don't put him in the public eye.
Yep. Yeah.
Not on social media, to the point where he's like, Mummy, other parents, when they're proud of their kids, they put stuff like on their Instagram and stuff, and they say they're proud, and you never do that with me. And I'm like, okay, I just need you to understand I'm proud of you without the social media factor. And that the more I engage in anything like that, the more the creepy guys come around with the long lenses.
Yeah.
And everybody's stressed. So I said, you have to weigh it up sometimes and make some choices. And I said, they're just the choices that I have made right from the beginning. They're not going to be in the media. And so many people have been very respectful of that, I'm glad about. When I got into what I did, there weren't paparazzi. There was no social media. By the time all of that came around, I was famous for years and years and years as a kid. So there was no choose to get into this club life or not.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
And social media, I know it's been around, what, I don't know, 10, 15 years, but it's still pretty new.
Yeah.
And especially for parents, no one is really knows how to navigate it. How do you feel about, does he ask to have his own social media channels? Because I guess there's that pressure as well.
Not yet. He hasn't asked. I think he really gets it. And
yeah.
You know, that it's stressful. Yeah. And they're, how many likes did I get and what comments? He loves that real face-to-face being with someone.
Yeah. I think, do you know what? I really do wonder if the next generation will go against it, because so many, you know, so many of our children see us. I'm holding my phone up for anyone obviously who can't see this, but they see this all the time.
Yes.
And will that put them off? Will that put them off? And will they go completely the other way and want nothing to do with it because they grew up seeing their parents with their faces in their phones all the time?
Yeah, that's such a good point. Your children will always look to you and reflect your behaviour. And I definitely see that with my kids. So if you're not being present and you're on your phone a lot, you know, that's exactly what they're going to see.
Yeah.
Kids are taught at school, like, you have to ask permission to upload photos, and you can't upload class photos. There's some kids in school that are under child protection.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they're taught a lot of stuff. Heard Kim say, you're not uploading that, are you? Don't upload that. You need to ask me. So they're already aware of that. But it was funny, I saw an instructional Zoom that had come through to school on teaching parents about stuff that the kids were learning in school. And they said, it's funny enough, because the biggest part of consent is normally taught between the parent and the child. not outside that.
Yeah.
Mm. And so parents just take photos, or if they say, can I have a photo, and the child goes, no, I don't want to, they go, that's okay, I'm going to take it anyway. So in the child's brain, they're taught, even if you say no and you haven't, you know, given your consent to it, someone that you trust who's in, you know, some kind of guiding you or meant to be looking after you has completely disrespected that. And so I see parents doing it a lot. I think that's the message that we need to send, is educating parents as much as kids to say, you're the one who's going to teach them about consent.
Yeah.
And if you want them to be able to be in control of that over many different other situations later on in life, then you have to be respectful. I've caught myself doing it, and it was just really interesting to be taught as a parent. And as I said before, I think a lot of this learning is more to do with me learning than Ethan. They're a sponge. They take it in stuck all day long, whereas we have a very learned behavior, that this is how we do something. I think you've got to learn how to step back and look at yourself and how you are behaving, and go, maybe there's a better way to do that.
We touched on, you know, like lots of your career highlights and all the stuff that you're involved with. How have you found, I guess, juggling work with a home life? And did you find it harder when Ethan was younger, or are you finding it harder as he's getting older?
I think the balance is just making time. So there's definitely, you know, a lot of requests to do stuff, and there's some really fun stuff I want to do, but it really me being strong and saying, I'd love to do that, but really looking at the schedule, that doesn't allow me that family time that I want, family time that I need, and that presence in the family that I want to have, because time slips away. Before being a mum, I'd run around the world doing all sorts of, you know, made shows. I've got a lot of experience under my belt now, and I just don't want to miss out on too much time. Really shooting up. I'm like, I'm really going to be looking up to you. And when you hug me, your arms are going to be on top and mine will be below around your waist.
Oh God.
I want to delve into co-parenting and how that has been for you. And I guess maybe sort of touch on, you know, has it been smooth sailing, or have there been some learning curves that you've experienced?
You know, it wasn't a situation that I thought it would evolve into. So it definitely was like, okay, this wasn't a plan, but this is where we are now. So I think it takes a lot of adjusting and constant adjustment. And, you know, always said is the most important thing is communication and being really, really clear.
And just, I guess it must be difficult when, you know, they're not with you anymore, and you want them to be. I mean, so many of us parents long for them, you know, long for some time to ourselves and long for a bit of a break. I sometimes think that I'm like, wow, like imagine like having every other weekend or whatever it is to yourself. God, that sounds great. But then when you're actually in it, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that. I mean, so many moms at school are saying, oh, you know, how are you feeling about your trip? And I'm like, no, I'm already just knowing how much I'm going to miss Ethan. They said, I'll swap with you. I've got three children. I'll go over to London. It's a strange thing. It's good to have your time away. And I think it's time for us both to grow and learn. And I've got an amazing partner who I've been with for 9 years. And you know, he's definitely stepdad and is in their parenting with me. So I'm not alone, which is great.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Now, we have started a few weeks ago a new feature on the podcast where our listeners can send in questions and you get to answer them. So we've had one here, which is, what things do you do as part of your routine to help relax and de-stress? Oh, I like that question.
I really like meditation music. There's a playlist on Spotify called Peaceful Meditation, and it goes for like 11 hours. And I'll put that on. I just want to feel calm. Like, it really feels like you start breathing slower, the beats are slow.
What's your ultimate like treatment? Do you love a facial? Do you love a massage? What sort of treatments do you like?
I like to have a bar. Sometimes I would just say to the boys, right, you do nothing. Running a bath, I love essential oil, and just like I'm in a cloud of essential oils. And honestly, when I get out of the bath and come back downstairs, I used to like in person treat time at home, you know, no dividers.
Love that. This is from Emma. What is your best fitness tip?
So you can do exercise anywhere at any time and don't have to go to the gym. I love walking. It's great for me that I'll do exercise even if I'm brushing my teeth. Like I'm not the gym bunny I used to be. A bit of stretching and, you know, little gentle exercises is what I enjoy.
Mm. Yeah, we'll just do one more. This is from Sam. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned as a parent?
I think it's, you know, kind of what I was saying before is just, you know, check yourself, step back, take a moment and be willing to evolve as a person and learn. Like, I definitely feel this is much about me growing and changing as it is about him. And I think maybe that's where typical for parents, like, you know, this age is hard and that age is hard. It's just different. It's, you know, it's very different. And I don't know, I'm ready to try and, yeah, we'll keep moving with that.
I know that we're all really excited about this because George and I have been talking about it, but where can we find your amazing range with QVC? Is it online?
Yeah, so the basis of it, even though we do have regular size clothing, is to create petite clothing because I'm petite. And I guess there's a big confusion about what petite is in fashion. And it literally just means that you're short and it's not a dress size. So it's not about the width of your hips or your waist or anything like that. It's just that you're short, so your vertical proportions are very different. And I have had a lifetime of finding it difficult to find clothes that would fit. I've been designing since I was 17. I had my first range in Australia. I've had a specific petite range in Australia for 8 years now.
Wow.
And we've had the QVC range for 1 year. Or just over a year, you know, it comes in size 6 to 22. So it's very inclusive. And what's been interesting is to work with different people at QVC and decode, you know, what is petite. And a lot of people think they're not petite. And I happen to be petite all over, which you girls probably are too. If you're 5'2", it's normally sort of under 5'4", under 5'3". But some people are just petite on the top half or the bottom half. Or
yeah.
Having that flexibility to have the regular size range and the petite stuff has been great. And some people just need all the top half stuff in petite.
I never thought about that, actually. Yeah, because some people have like a short torso, long legs.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, amazing. So where can we find it? Is it QVC online? And then I guess are you doing QVC live as well?
Yeah, we've done a bunch of live shows, but you can go to the website anytime and check it out. It's really easy. And I've got my jewelry there, which if you're 5'2", you've probably gone into jewelry stores and you're like, okay, the bangle just wires off your wrist and the necklace lands too low. So it's actually under your top, between your boobs, not, you know, on your chest as it should be, where you can see all of those things that a lot of people say to me. I actually realize petite people, it's like even for jewelry. And I said, yeah, the length of my neck is so much shorter. So a long earring is brilliant.
Sits on your shoulders.
Yeah, so we're doing that and we're just launching shoes now. So a lot of shoe companies don't go down to my size. So we go down to a size 2. And we actually
amazing.
Are launching that this week. And that's been so much fun to design. So yeah, the QVC UK are amazing, great team. So accommodating to try and make my vision come to life of having somewhere that I can go where everything fits and I don't feel like I'm weird or the wrong body shape. You know, it's like spent so many years where stuff fits everyone else off the rack. But with me, it doesn't. And you're on a first name basis with, you know, a seamstress and spending a fortune and a week turnaround to get anything fitted to even go to a party or whatever. Hopefully we're starting the petite revolution. It's a dream come true for me.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you. Just before we go, because I know that you're pressed for time and you've been working all day, what is the best piece of advice that you've been given as a parent, or what piece of advice would you give to a new parent?
Expect anything. As much as the birth story, they're all going to be so different and vary. Just you've got to roll with it.
Thank you so much. And just before we go, your shoe collection is live now. Is that right? At QVC?
My clothing and my jewelry and the new shoe collection is available and live, and I'm very excited about it. You have to let me know what you think.
Dani, thank you so much. We absolutely love this chat. You've been a superstar. Thank you so much for being so honest. It's been an absolute joy having you on.
Thank you so much.
Oh God, Dani Minogue, what a babe.
No, oh my gosh, she is. She absolutely is. And I just love, do you know what? We talk about parenting on here, and so, you know, so much comes up that happens, you know, every parent can relate to. But equally, when you have a superstar like Dani Minogue come on, there are things that you just don't even consider to be a thing until you talk to someone like that. Like, for instance, her talking about, you know, her son walking home from school. Any parent, that's a huge deal. Like, to let your child walk to and from school by themselves for the first time. But then you start to think about what it's like for someone like her, where there's the big security issue. Your mind just wonders how they ever get to do these things when there is so much around it. And she's so well known.
Especially when she's just, at the end of the day, just a normal mum with it. You know, she's trying to be just a normal mum with a kid.
Yeah.
It's like you factor in all of that, like you said, all the security issues and stuff. It must be an absolute minefield to try and get your head around. So yeah, I feel like we got a real insight into her life there. And I loved how open and honest she was around being a mum. It was brilliant. And the co-parenting side of it as well was really interesting. A real treat. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, please do. And seeing as we are absolutely reaching for the stars when it comes to guests now, please drop us a DM. No one is out of reach. We will be going for absolutely everyone. So any suggestions, send them our way at Made by Mummers on Instagram, and we will be back on Friday.
We will. I really want Pamela Anderson just on like a...
Okay.
Because I think there's that podcast with Spencer and Jamie Lang, and it's called like 6 degrees or something, and they can get to anybody.
Yes.
So somebody must have a contact of somebody that knows Pammy.
Yeah, so everyone put it out on your socials. Like, let's make it happen. Or like we said, we'd love
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama. Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit. We'll see what Friday brings.
We'll see you then.
Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.